This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Doctors at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center are using virtual reality to create better outcomes for complex heart surgeries. Joining me to discuss this pioneering approach are Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center Congenital Heart Surgery, Heart Institute Director, and UC Department of Pediatrics Professor, Dr. David Morales. Welcome, Dr. Morales.
Hello, how are you?
Okay. Heart Institute Digital Media and 3D Modeling Program Director and UC Department of Pediatrics Assistant Professor, Dr. Ryan Moore. Welcome, Dr. Moore.
Hi, thank you.
And the mother of a young patient, Michelle Otten. So happy to have you here, Michelle.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I'd like to start by getting a better understanding of what this procedure is. Dr. Moore, I understand that you're the kind of person behind this. Do you mind explaining to us how you're using virtual reality and what your inspiration for this was?
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, first I'll start with my inspiration. So I'm a pediatric cardiologist, so I'm a kid's heart doctor. And in school was to actually go into digital arts and digital media, and with a particular interest in gaming and movies. And long story short, failed out of that, became a pediatric cardiologist, and now I'm doing that now here at Cincinnati Children's with Dr. Morales. And you know, a lot of what we're doing is very much mirroring the gaming and the movie industry in terms of taking imaging, converting it into some sort of 3D model, or we call it digital anatomic twin. And then we'll put that into a VR system. And then I've partnered with Dr. Morales probably for over 10 years now, or getting around there, where we first started doing 3D printing with this kind of digital content. And then that has now advanced with the more recent being able to put it in a virtual reality headset so that he can actually get into the space and then look at the models, be able to come up with a surgical plan. And we have now been doing that pretty routinely for the past couple of years.
So how do you take that imaging that you start with? And I'm going to ask you this to explain it in the simplest possible terms, because I was a journalism major. So how do you take those images that you create and convert them into a model that is accurate? I mean, I imagine you need a very, very accurate model to plan a complex surgery like this.
Yes, thank you. I think that is exactly the goal, and that's exactly the expectation from the surgeons, is that we're actually taking the patient's source imaging. So Braden, who's on here with us, went through a cardiac MRI. We can also use a cardiac CT. So there's just imaging modalities that we can, you know, take pictures of the patient's heart. And then we take that and we bring it into a medical modeling software, very similar to what they do in engineering, what they do in the arts world, where you're actually just building a model, a digital model or digital copy of what you're looking at. And so we created a digital copy of Braden's heart. And then we brought that from there. And you know, we are going kind of slice by slice, which is, you know, this ends up being over 1,000 slices of imaging data that we're creating a three-dimensional model of. And then we bring that into the virtual reality space. And really, once it kind of converts from the imaging side over to the 3D model, all that kind of anatomic accuracy is converted over. And obviously requires a lot of training. And so, you know, Cincinnati Children's is where I actually did all of my training at, and it's a phenomenal program here for cardiology and cardiothoracic surgery. So, and it really is a very unique setup that we actually have the ability to, you know, train fellows and have developers and digital artists on staff that were able to build these models. And I think it really is a unique setup that we have here. I think we might be the only children's hospital that actually has this level of developers and artists on staff with our Digital Experience Technology Center and our media lab. So we're essentially running a gaming Pixar studios here, and all the while, you know, we are having physicians kind of paired with artist developers, surgeons, so that we can actually make sure that all the stuff is 100% accurate, but it's also translating in a way that is easy not only for now other providers like surgeons and medical providers to do, but also patients. And so you know, when we talked to Braden, he was actually able to get in there and to look at his own heart.
That's great. And so, Dr. Morales, what types of procedures is this best for?
So, interestingly, this kind of software actually started because back now more than 12 or 13 years ago, when they first introduced partial artificial hearts for adults, I wanted to start putting them in children. And so we had started to develop some type of this kind of software to demonstrate that we could put these things called ventricular assist devices into children so that they could take advantage of this. And it has changed that field tremendously. And, you know, the highest mortality of people waiting for transplant used to be in pediatrics. And we've have that being able to use these VADs. And so that started kind of the development of this thought of using this kind of virtual. But at that time, it was digital, meaning we would do this on the computer and see the 3D models, but not virtual yet. And then soon after I came here, a very young fellow came up to me and showed me a 3D printed model, and that was Dr. Moore. And at that point, we started to develop and do surgeries and think about them in the 3D models. And then we have eventually moved into the virtual space, which really has revolutionized kind of the way we think of very complex surgeries. So, you know, the purpose of many of our surgeries is to create a right and a left side of the heart. And many patients have multiple defects and have for a long time thought not to be able to separate their right and left side of the hearts. And part of that is that there are so many different kind of baffles or tunnels and things that you have to switch around to get to that, that it is often not thought to be possible. But now, using the virtual space and literally being able to take the heart and kind of make it life size, and for me to be able to walk through the heart, I can really see where everything is. And again, even from a different perspective than in the operating room, where I can only see the heart from the front, in this, I can literally walk through the heart. I can look at the heart from the back. And because of that, and because of all the work that Ryan and all the people we have here have done, allows us to start planning the most complex surgeries, which now we're doing with a moderate amount of regularity, which is great, which is how, you know, we were able to fix Braden's heart, who for many years we did not think was possible to separate into a right and left side. But through virtual reality, we were able to plan it. And most importantly, Braden and his family were brave enough to trust us, and we were able to do that surgery for him.
That's great. So let's get to Braden's story. Michelle and Braden, if you'd like to chime in. Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about Braden's situation and what this, you know, why this surgery was important for him?
I think it was just, you know, important for him. He didn't have any symptoms that were really causing any issues, but, you know, he had a heart cath, and the doctors had sort of noticed some irregularities. And then meeting with the team, you know, Dr. Morales really talked to us about how this surgery, you know, would allow him to participate in sports, you know, not get fatigued as quickly. So that's what sort of led us to this. And then this virtual reality component, which allowed us to see, I mean, the heart is a very complex organ. And you were really able to see it in a realistic view. And I think it helped Braden sort of understand what exactly they were going to do and how it could help him.
Yeah.
What would you say, Braden?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool because I could see how my heart works.
That is really cool. I'd like to see how mine works. So, what was different about Braden's heart, Michelle, and how long had it been different for him?
I mean, it was upon birth when he was born. We didn't know about it before he was born, but when he was born, he was transferred to Children's, I think like 8 hours after his birth. So his heart is on the opposite side. It was a single ventricle. He has a lot of other things that are very complex for me to talk about. But so he's already had, you know, before this, he had three additional surgeries. So hopefully this one, I mean, he's doing great now. He's back at school full time, walking on the treadmill, has a lot of energy. His just overall fatigueness has really, he's not really tired anymore, and he's doing really great.
Yeah. So Brayden, how old are you? Do you mind reminding me of that?
12.
12 years old. And were you 12 when this procedure was done?
Yes.
So what'd you think, Brayden, when you got to see how your heart worked and you heard about kind of how this, all this surgery was going to happen? What was your reaction to all that?
At first I was like, I didn't know what was going to happen. But then when I came in for the virtual reality, I understand it more, and it was a lot better.
That's good. Were there any surprises about your heart when you got to kind of walk through it like that? Anything that you thought, holy moly, I didn't know it worked that way?
Probably, but I forget.
That's right. It's been a long time ago. That was early December, right, that you had this done?
Yeah.
November 30th.
Oh, November 30th. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
We'll say Brayden actually showed us some things that we didn't even realize that our system could do.
Oh, really? Like what?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, he was, obviously, I think kids nowadays are much better suited to understanding the kind of the virtual space and everything. And we had gone through many different practices and thought of things, but Brayden's first kind of movement was to make the heart very big and look, and then kind of walk into it and then look up at the aorta in a certain way that we actually had it, which actually ended up being quite helpful to us for other patients. So I think it's a good thing that we have people of the younger generation use this, because again, I think they're much more facile with it.
Yeah. So has that become standard practice then, to have young patients and their parents kind of take a tour of the heart before you do these surgeries?
It is becoming more. We just had another family use the device, the father to use the device, because he wanted to have a better understanding. His child had also a very complex heart. And so we're seeing more and more that parents... but also sometimes when the children are old enough, the children themselves wanting to experience this. I think it also kind of, you know, when you're just showing it on paper or talking about it, it's hard to really understand it. But to be able to actually see it in front of you and turn it around with your own hands, and, you know, that gives you some familiarity. And I think it eases some anxiety. At least that's the feedback we've gotten so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think ultimately that's the goal. I mean, and that's what makes Cincinnati Children's unique in the sense that, you know, we're able to develop things like that here. I think we, for so long, and I actually, to date myself a little bit, as the young fellow that worked with Dr. Morales, I actually knew Brayden when he was a baby. He probably doesn't remember that part. But I was a fellow trainee when he was a baby and got to know Michelle and John, his parents. And it's kind of been really cool to kind of see, you know, him grow up and to get to this point. But one of my goals, and I know this is one of Dr. Morales' goals too, is we've always been able to teach the parents very well, at least to our best ability, and be able to get them to understand things. And now that we have this new kind of technology and we have this new kind of generation of kids who understand this stuff and this, you know, VR gaming, the digital space, the digital world, we're able to actually interact with the kids themselves. And I think that's the really kind of cool and unique part, is that now, you know, they can understand things to a higher degree. And I, you know, ultimately one of the goals for this is that we're trying to reduce some stress and anxiety that we know happens around these surgeries. We're trying to improve, you know, anyone who's ever had a family member or a child, or, you know, themselves have had to have surgery, there's a little bit of shock and, you know, stress related to that, you know, before, after, during. And so we're trying to use these tools to kind of help with some of that, you know, shock that you experience, so that people feel, have a better feeling going into the operation. And then even so after, and I think that was the other exciting thing for us, is that, you know, we didn't know exactly when Brayden would get out of hospital. We expected to be, you know, a little bit more than the time that he got out, but he got out within 2 weeks and was able to be home before Christmas, which we were all very excited about because, and I'm talking with, you know, Michelle and John and Dr. Morales, Braden's kind of spirit the whole time in the hospitalization. I mean, he kind of, you know, was very motivated to get out, which is great. And he also kind of seemed to understand things. And so I think, you know, we're embarking on a new era where we can actually work with, you know, the patients themselves, the kids, and help them to understand things using these new technologies.
Well, it sounds like you're teaching the kids, but sometimes the kids are teaching you too, like what Braden saw. Yeah.
As a true pediatrician, that's what we always say. They're always teaching us. So yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So how often have you all used this this strategy with these surgeries, Dr. Morales, and what have the outcomes been so far?
So luckily, I'm knocking on wood, the outcomes have really been fantastic, and we're just using it more and more, and we're, to be honest, getting more patients and more physicians are now thinking of some of these patients who we didn't think could become a right and a left-sided heart. Are starting to think that way. And so I hope that we continue to use this for that. But, you know, another really important part of what is exciting about this is you can imagine. So if you're thinking about like a game, like my son, when he was in high school, you know, he had many friends playing games and they weren't with him, right? And so what we've been trying to do is create, and we've started, now, if you can imagine to put someone's CT or MRI into a virtual space, we often get consults from other places, from other countries, but as well as other institutions and from different states. So now imagine putting that patient who is, say, in Florida, their CAT scan or MRI into the virtual space, and then me going in there as well as the other surgeon. And then planning out the surgery together, right? And we have already done that a couple of times now. And so you can just imagine how helpful that could be so that children everywhere can get the surgeries they need. And then you can imagine expanding that out to other countries who maybe don't have as many resources, where patients who get congenital heart surgery don't even sometimes get the simplest heart surgeries because they're not trained on it. And so, you know, the ability to educate not only locally and the family, but really throughout the country and the world is immense. Yeah. And so that's really was one of the most important things about moving to the virtual space is that potential.
Yeah. So, Dr. Moore, how has this technology revolutionized your work? What's different now for you and the work that you do compared to what it was like 10 years ago? And do you see any limitations with this technology?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm kind of a, you know, test the limits as much as possible kind of person. So I think there's still a lot more to go. I mean, I think that's really what drove my interest into the digital space. I mean, even starting back, you know, when I was looking at kind of digital arts and what we've seen the way that games and movies have evolved over even the past 10 years, as my kids like to point out, when I, you know, watch a movie that's older, that, you know, why does that look so bad compared to like, you know, what they're seeing now? I think really a lot what we're going to be looking into is more interaction, you know, more realism between what we're able to look at. And I think, you know, like what Dr. Morales said, the connectivity of this, being able to connect, as we all have seen through, you know, social media, kind of as we're evolving into what, you know, we have termed here the, before Facebook, we'll say, the Cincinnati Children's Metaverse, mm-hmm. as we're evolving into, you know, that space, you know, I think the opportunity now is to start looking to how do we improve outcomes and how do we improve individual patient outcomes, but then also how do we get kids like Braden kind of, I think, better understanding of this stuff. And then how do we get them more involved? I think one of the exciting things I heard from John and Michelle was that after Braden had done this, he was saying that, and maybe he changed his mind now, but that he wanted to be a doctor in the future that kind of created video games to help kids. And that's exciting for me because that's what I wanted to do. So I think that's very cool part of this.
Yeah. So Braden, if there are other moms and dads and kids out there listening who are dealing with some of the stuff you were, what would your message be to them about this kind of procedure after what you experienced? If you need a minute, maybe your mom has a thought that she'd like to share. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
I think it made him feel more comfortable. He sort of knew what was to be expected. We had talked to him about it. But I think he just grasped a better understanding and being able to navigate the heart by himself better than when I had to put on the virtual reality headset. I was a mess. He did a lot better than me. So I think that gave him a little boost as well. Yeah. Anything else, Braden?
No.
Was it fun to do the VR?
Yeah.
And we also got to have Braden do a couple of fun VR games afterwards too. So that was nice.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much. I want to thank our guests, Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center Congenital Heart Surgery Heart Institute Director and UC Department of Pediatrics Professor David Morales, Heart Institute Direct Digital Media and 3D Modeling Program Director and UC Department of Pediatrics Assistant Professor Dr. Ryan Moore, and Braden's mom and Braden, Braden's mom Michelle Otten and Braden Otten. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Lucy May.